From plastic bag bans to zero-waste cities, plastic is becoming more and more unpopular these days, at least for consumers. For big oil companies, plastic is an increasingly important source of profit, and the expansion of fracking in the United States has paved the way for a renaissance in American plastics manufacturing. Petrochemical giants and companies like Shell and Exxon are investing tens of billions of dollars in plastics production and infrastructure as part of their strategy to ensure the fossil fuel market remains strong. More than 300 projects around the country are underway or newly completed. But the communities living near those plants are suffering. Sharon Levine, the director of Rise St. James, an organization formed to fight a plastic plant in Louisiana, testified before the U.S. House Subcommittee on Environment and Climate Change last week and asked her representative for a moratorium on the oil, gas, and petrochemical industry in her parish. We spoke to Levine about how she got involved in the fight and what effects it's having on her community.
One day when I was in my classroom teaching, my daughter called and told me that Mama, the governor is at Roses, celebrating. He's approving a $9.4 billion industry to come into St. James. I literally got sick. In my community, it's about 85% black, and most of us are poor. I think the industry or our public officials feel like no one is going to speak out. They don't think anyone will rock the boat. To me, it looks like this is open space for them to just come here and poison us, because they know no one is going to speak up. And look, the years that went by, no one spoke up. I never dreamed in a million years that I would be doing something like this. I don't think this fight will ever die. I'll die before I let them take my land and my life.
In 2016, Levine was diagnosed with autoimmune hepatitis. And in the spring of this year, she found out she had aluminum in her body.
I didn't know. But before this happened, I didn't know the chemicals from these plants were causing us to be sick. I didn't know that. I thought me getting older, things happen in your body. That's what I thought. In my mind, I never associated this with the chemicals that they were emitting in the air. I didn't know what kind of chemicals they were emitting. I didn't know what they were doing. All I knew was industries in St. James.
But Levine isn't the only one in the area who's gotten sick. She says many of her neighbors have suffered from the contaminated air and water as well.
We have a funeral tomorrow. A good friend of mine, he died of cancer. My neighbor on both sides of where I live, both of them died of cancer. So many people are dying. So many people have asthma. So many children have to go to the doctor. My grandchildren, when they go outside and they stay outside for a long period of time, the skin have rashes on it. They have sinus problems. They have breathing problems. My little grandchildren have to stay to go to the doctor for something. There's always something.
We asked Zoe Carpenter, a contributing writer for The Nation, just how widespread this problem is.
Well, one of the things I've found is that it's mostly communities and communities of color who are hosting these types of polluting facilities. So there's a real environmental justice problem with the plastics industry. A lot of these new facilities are being planned in areas like Cancer Alley in Louisiana, as it's colloquially known. And for decades, this is a stretch along the Mississippi River between Baton Rouge and New Orleans that has a incredibly high concentration of petrochemical facilities. And many residents have for years reported higher rates of cancer and other illnesses that they think are related to these facilities. So this plastics boom is going to bring yet more of these facilities to areas that already have serious air and water quality issues. But it's also going to affect new communities.
What happens after plastic is produced? How does plastic production affect the environment, but also communities?
It affects communities all along the chain of production. The pollution concerns range from the very local to the global.
Stories like the one we just heard in Louisiana show just how dangerous it can be to live in direct proximity to a plastics manufacturer. But the range of negative health outcomes extends far beyond any single location.
You have communities that live near wellheads, so around fracking operations that bear the brunt of pollution from those operations. And then you have communities who live near the refining facilities and the cracker facilities, who are then subject to air pollution from those facilities. And then you have the communities that live further down the chain who have the actual plastic waste or the incinerators that burn plastic waste in their communities. So one of the things that I was interested in my reporting are plans to create what would essentially be a brand new petrochemical corridor along the Ohio River Valley in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia. So not only is this plastics expansion going to affect areas that already bear a heavy burden of industry, but it's going to bring those same problems potentially to new parts of the country.
What role, if any, has Congress played in all of this? Have they taken any action so far to protect communities living near these plants?
Well, currently the momentum at the federal level is pretty pro this plastics expansion. In particular, some members of Congress from that Ohio River Valley region and members of the Trump administration are very supportive of bringing new plastics facilities to the area because they see it as a source of economic growth and aren't concerned about the environmental implications.
Well, then a lot of these conversations are also framed around the debate about jobs and resources. Can you talk a little bit about how plastic production is being talked about in regards to that debate in places like Ohio and Pennsylvania? I mean, these are states that have seen a gutting of their manufacturing bases. Is it being positioned as a job generator?
Yes, absolutely. And the petrochemical industry itself uses that in a lot of its talking points when it speaks about this new renaissance. And it's true that many of these areas where the plastics expansion is happening are economically struggling areas. But many people have pointed out to me in my reporting that this is really the same old story where these places have always kind of been in the grip of the boom and bust cycle that follows extractive industries, whether it was coal or steel or oil. That has never been a particularly secure economic future, as we've seen with the booms and busts over decades.
People are talking about not using plastics, including everything from plastic straws to single-use plastics to no longer using plastic water bottles and disposable plastics. Aren't these companies going against the trend? I mean, how is it that they're investing when the consumer trends, at least in some parts of the country, seem to be pointing in the opposite direction?
Well, I think consumer trends and public awareness are a bit different. And it is true that I think there's more awareness of the need to stop using single-use plastics. But that doesn't mean that people are able to do that on a scale big enough to actually change the system at this point. I think the industry is fighting a lot of the local efforts to stop the use of single-use plastic bags, for example. And so I think there's a big power asymmetry here between the money and the political clout that industry has and individual consumer actions on the other hand. And so I think what activists who are working on this issue want is for the industry to have to take more responsibility for its products. So whether that's by some kind of fee or tax that would then help pay for the cleanup and the cost of recycling, whether that's bans on single-use plastics, there are a lot of ways to approach that. But the fact of the matter is that right now, only about 9% of plastic gets recycled at best. And so we have a problem both with the production of single-use plastics and with the fact that even recyclable plastics aren't getting recycled. So it's a pretty huge systemic problem that the industry would like us to think can be tackled by all of us doing a better job cleaning up our trash.
And so that's part of what you said earlier with their marketing pitches, right, to consumers, whereas we should be recycling. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
You know, we've seen a lot of attention even from the industry on trash pickup and recycling, and they'd like us to focus on that and ignore the fact that what they're doing is pumping a lot more plastic into a system that already can't keep up with the amount that's in the environment. But the fact is, recycling is not economically viable in many places, including in the U.S. Most of our plastic waste historically was shipped to China. China no longer accepts that, and so the U.S. itself has a huge problem with products not getting recycled. So recycling right now is not really a viable option to fix this problem. And so I think what many activists and academics and others who are working working on this would like to see is curtailing the production itself and then, of course, increasing the recycling capacity. But the metaphor I use is that focusing just on recycling is like trying to bail out a bathtub with a teaspoon while the tap is on full blast. There's just too much plastic being produced.
So, Zoe, is there any cause for optimism here? Is there any movement towards solutions?
Well, I think awareness, public awareness, is good news. And there are lots of local efforts underway in the U.S. and elsewhere. I think what we're seeing now from the grassroots level is really interesting, where communities that previously fought somewhat disparate struggles against various aspects of the supply chain have now united in the Break Free from Plastics movement and in other efforts. And they're linking these struggles around the globe from communities who are trying to protect themselves from the local pollution from fracking to communities of recyclers living overseas. They now see themselves as part of one movement that's trying to stop this problem of plastic waste. And so I think that that is the good news, that there is this somewhat new and rapidly growing movement to both raise awareness and change policy.
Zoe Carpenter is a contributing writer for The Nation. Zoe, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.